Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul, 28 October 2020. Welcome to tonight's program. We are so glad you're with us. Just you and me tonight. I'm going to share some things with you. I'm going to share a few scriptures. I'll make a few comments, and I'm going to try to bring forth, I think, some common sense and maybe some good teaching along the line. Hope you're blessed by it. Even if it makes you angry, I hope you understand what I'm trying to say and can I'm trying to make. But we'll do that in a minute. And by the way, I'll take a phone call the next half hour. And the gentleman called last night, I think it was Ken from Maine, that didn't get on to share his information about COVID. You feel free to call tonight the next half hour and do that. Please, I'm sorry I didn't get to you in time. But anyway, I want to start off by saying tomorrow being Thursday, by the grace of God, I'll be in the office tomorrow between 9 and 4 Eastern to take your phone calls, to talk to you if we can. And if you'd like to call and talk to asking questions, please do. Folks, I'm here as a minister above everything else. If you're having problems in your life, I don't care what they are. I don't know that I have all the answers, but I'll be glad to try to help if I can. Especially if you don't know who Christ is as your personal Savior. I cannot emphasize strongly enough how important that can be. I just can't emphasize to you how strongly that important that is. But you can call us tomorrow in the office. I'll be in the office 9 to 4, like I said, at 800-777-4403. If you can call long distance, we'd appreciate if you call us at 304-846-4448. 304-846-4448. We'd love to hear from you. If you want to place an order tomorrow for anything you may have here, this will be the last time I'm going to mention the Mark the Beast DVD or CD. I'm going to let the Grand Design Exposed rest for a while. I've got some of those books left, folks. It's a book that everybody should read, but that's up to you if you want or not, of course. And a pack of 10 How Pre-Trib Won books are $40. $4 a piece. A very, very, very important book when people are going to be deceived right into a mess when they think they're going to be raptured out of here before anything happens. I'm just telling you like it is, folks. Read Revelation 13 and understand that the beast will have power to overcome the saints. You got to be here for it to happen. So it's available if you want them. Tomorrow you can call us again at 800-777-4403. Chris will be here to take your orders, answer questions too, all that she can. And I'll be here with you, and Lord willing, all day with you, I pray. And don't forget, if you listen on shortwave on 6115, it's called Melody Seastrom with Discount Gold and Silver, folks. It's footing the bill for us on shortwave 3 nights a week. And I surely believe everyone out there now can see financially what's happening in the country. And if you've been keeping up at all with the price of gold and silver, you've seen it hold steady. I mean, silver's up to almost 25 bucks a pop for silver dollar. That's an ounce of silver. And gold's run over 1900 steady. And folks, that's a huge jump from just 6 months ago. A huge jump. And the dollar's dropping in value every day. You know that when you go to the store. You call Melody at 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. And don't put it off. Get what you can while you can, while you still can, before this reset happens. When the reset happens, the dollar will be nothing. That's just the way it is. Paper will be nothing. So just think about it and do what you think is wise, please. And a prayer request tonight for Joe and Kelly Cannon. Joe and Kelly have been coming to our Bible study now for years. Kelly was, as you know, I mentioned last week, was kidnapped out of the hospital. Her husband Joe, she'd been having some health problems, mental problems, and yes, some demonic activity. Joe been working with her and trying to help her. And she's up and down, not doing too well in a lot of ways. Been working with regular doctors and naturopath doctors. He took her to the Buckhannon West Virginia Hospital last week to see what they could do to help her. And while she was there, she was kidnapped and taken away from Joe. No one knows where she is as far as on our side. Joe doesn't know. Nobody knows. So keep that in prayer, please. Please pray that Kelly will be able to come back to her senses, be able to get up and eat and drink and say, I want to go home. Folks, it's in the hand of our God right now. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to reach her. We don't know what to do. So I ask you to please pray. Please pray tonight, you prayer warriors, that Kelly would be delivered from this torment and brought back home with her husband. Please, put yourself in Joe's place. What if that were your husband or your wife or your child taken right up under your nose when he's trying to get help for him in the hospital? How would you feel about that? Think about that, okay? It's a sad situation. Now, I don't want to talk to you all night. I hope you don't mind. We're going to talk personally. You and I, just me and you, if you're driving down the highway or sitting in your home, or if you listen to us, as we got an email from a listener in Norway. Bless his heart. We appreciate him and email me and saying hi to us. And, of course, our listener in France donating some funds to us. And all the world people email us and all across country. Thank you for being there. And what I'm going to talk about tonight, if you're out of this nation, may not affect you, because I'm going to talk about the election coming up here next Tuesday, 6 days away. And I'm going to share some thoughts with you, folks. And I want you to understand that I am not throwing stones. By any means am I throwing stones. I cannot do that in good conscience, because I made the same mistake myself for years. And that's voting for lesser of evils. I did it for years, so I'm not throwing stones. I'm just trying to show you what I had to learn and come to the realization of, okay? But so please don't think that I'm throwing stones, but I do ask tonight that you pay attention to what I'm saying and see if it makes any sense to you or not. You know, in Hebrews chapter 5, it talks about having our senses exercised to know good and evil. And we, all of us, I think, I tell you, especially those who really believe in Jesus Christ and born again, know some good and evil. No doubt about it. That's not the question. But sometimes we get so wrapped up in different aspects of life, and not important. But sometimes we look at different things with the wrong perspective, and not maybe do things we know are important, and overlook other things that may be more important. Okay? But I just want to share with you very quickly a few headlines coming out here about the upcoming election. And why I think it might be a rough time after the election. I don't know that. I'm not saying it's going to be, but it certainly looks like it could be. If Brother Dana's Coverstone and others I've talked to and the dreams they've been having are for real, it's going to be. And if what I sense in my spirit, I think we're in for rough times ahead. But nonetheless, the quick headlines. 60 Minutes anchor Leslie Stahl's family gets death threat following controversial Donald Trump interview. CBS's Leslie Stahl now has around-the-clock security day after she and her family received death threats following her controversial 60 Minutes interview with President Donald Trump. Broadcast on network Sunday, That interview gained attention in the days leading up to its airing after the president walked out and criticized Stalls publicly on Twitter, stating that the interview was fake and biased. And she received death threats. Now, folks, I must tell you that it seems like normally a lot more it happens that from the other side, we'll say the left side, anger and death threats come out. But it's not totally on that side. Here we see people are threatening, apparently, Leslie Stahl and her family for an interview with President Donald Trump coming from what we say the right, okay? Police struggle to protect voters, avoid intimidation at polls. Concern about police presence at voting sites dates to Jim Crow era when police intimidated black voters. States and cities across the U.S. are wrestling with a delicate task as they gear up for the possibility of violence on Election Day. How to keep voters safe without deploying a police presence that could intimidate some voters. So far, authorities have taken different approaches. Michigan has moved to ban firearms at the polls after armed protests took place at the state capitol. Police in New York City plan to boost their presence in and around polling sites. While a number of states ban police at the polls unless they are asked to help with a particular situation by election officials, some are encouraging officers to be nearby but not at election sites. The concern among law enforcement officials is that efforts to protect voters put them in the position of policing the polls, a practice that historically has been discouraged or even forbidden by law. Let's move on. San Antonio election updates. Governor Abbott, to order 1,000 troops to Texas cities during election. Folks, this is what I'm saying. This could get nasty. Election Day Security Update. Major General James K. Red Brown, Chief of Staff for the Texas National Guard Commander, said the activation of troops would be for post-election support of local law enforcement and the Texas Department of Public Safety, as we did previously to deter any civil disturbance at sites in various cities within Texas. Guard troops ordered to San Antonio, the Texas Army National Guard, said that Monday has been ordered to dispatch 1,000 troops to 5 cities around the state in conjunction with the November 3rd election, including San Antonio. The Guard in recent weeks has told the San Antonio Express News that its commander, Major General Tracy Norris, had been asked to draft contingency plans in case of trouble at polling places in major cities around the state. You know, folks, third world nations usually have to call out police and troops to monitor these situations. Third world nations. What does that tell you our nation may be becoming? Military police in Washington State prepare for possible civil unrest after election. After election. As tension builds toward Election Day, law enforcement officials in Washington and elsewhere are preparing for the prospect that this year's long, hot summer of unrest won't end on November 3rd, regardless of who wins the presidency. If anything, officials worry that pressure will only build in the coming weeks, faced with the possibility of a contested election, spiking gun sales, and ongoing civil unrest over the institutional racism and police violence, all driven by a tsunami of social media misinformation and conspiracies from the right and left, not to mention from foreign advisories. Do you see where I'm heading with this? Do you see what I'm talking about? It's a little bit nerve-wracking. Some plan to move. Others buy guns. Election has many Americans feeling high anxiety. This is out of Los Angeles. 4 months ago, as protesters marched through the city demanding justice for George Floyd, Vina Petty was standing at a market in Burbank when she spotted an older white man glaring at her. "It's all your fault," he hissed, adding an expletive. Petty, who is in Hawaiian, black, and Chinese, was standing quietly by herself at the time, so she's confident he targeted her as a woman of color. She tucked the memory away, but it resurfaced after President Donald Trump, during a debate, told the Proud Boys, a far-right hate group, to stand back and stand by. Again, 2 weeks later, when Senator Lindsey Graham made a comment, which he later said was sarcastic about the good old boys of segregation. By then, Petty was convinced. That afternoon, the 56-year-old who was laid off from her temporary job at a film studio in March visited Redstone Farms in Burbank, determined to start the process of buying her first gun. Something small, she said, to keep in her home. She hoped she would never need to use it, but believed that having a gun might give her some comfort in a world that felt increasingly out of control. Folks, I don't care what side you're on. It's not a pretty thing to think about. As Dana said in one of his dreams, he saw people standing behind in their house behind windows with curtain windows with guns in their hands. Another article says, "Are we going to witness the worst national emotional breakdown in history once the election is over? Right now, we are experiencing the calm before the storm. Many Biden supporters believe that Trump victory could literally be the worst thing that could possibly happen to our country, but at the moment, most of them are quite confident Biden will win. Likewise, many Trump supporters are absolutely convinced that we will plunge into the horrifying socialist abyss if Biden wins, but for now, most of them are convinced that the polls are wrong and that Trump will pull off another victory in November. So with just a little over a week until Election Day, most Americans that really care about the politics are pacified because they believe that a positive outcome is right around the corner. But soon, that will change, and tens of millions of Americans will simultaneously melt down emotionally right in front of our eyes. I think that just about everyone realizes that this national temper tantrum is coming. It is just that most of those that deeply care about politics assume that will happen to the other side. At this point, even Facebook is preparing for the worst. In fact, they're getting ready to implement emergency measures that are usually reserved for the most at-risk countries. As the U.S. braces for election-related unrest next month, Facebook executives are implementing emergency measures reserved for at-risk countries in a company-wide effort to bring down the online temperature. The Wall Street Journal Sunday has said that the social media giant plans to limit the spread of viral content and lower the benchmark for suppressing potentially inflammatory posts using internal tools previously deployed in Sri Lanka and Malabar. Yeah. Powerful stuff, folks. Powerful stuff, and doesn't sound good. This is not me saying this. This is coming from mainline papers and news all around the country. There are a lot more that I could share, but we don't have time, though, tonight. Because I want to get to a point I want to make. And here's the question. We do an election coming up next Tuesday. And I've been criticized for what I've said many times, and I guess I'll be criticized again. That's okay. I want to share with you very quickly a statement, or actually a covenant made, and to show you what our country once stood on as far as our nation and its ability itself and how it was governed. Then I want you to bring it up to 150 years later, to no, 200 years later, and see what we've got today. See what we have looking at today. I mean, it'd be 150 years ago when this was written, 1639. This was the fundamental agreement of the colony of New Haven, Connecticut. Listen, folks, what they did as the civil government. And compare it to the Democrats and or Republicans of today. We all agree that the scriptures hold forth a perfect rule for the direction and government of all men in duties which they are to perform to God and to man, as well as in families and commonwealth as in matters of the church. So likewise, in all public officers, which concern civil order, as choice of magistrates and officers, making and repealing laws, dividing allotments of inheritance, and all things of like nature, we will, all of us, be ordered by the rules which the Scripture holds forth, and we agree that such persons may be entrusted with such matters of government as are described in Exodus. And in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21 says this, it said, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetous, and place them over them to be rulers. Deuteronomy 1:13 says, take you wise men and understanding and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. These are the kind of men that were brought forth, supposedly would be brought forth, to rule over the people. He said, you choose wise, godly men to be your rulers. Now, folks, God didn't say, now you choose the Democratic side, Republican side, or even the independent side. You choose men that you know are solid in the Word of God, that you know are going to stand for what's right, and they're going to do what's right according to the laws of God. I know it ain't going to happen in America today. I realize that. But that does not release me from doing the right thing. As a believer in Jesus Christ, a born-again, spirit-filled believer, I have to do what I am told to do by the Word of God. I can do no less. To do less is sin against Almighty God. That's a fact, and that's just the way it is. I know people don't want to hear this, and I realize that, but I can't change the fact that it's true. I cannot, and I will not, and I'll share them with you in a minute. I know a lot of folks will get mad at me tonight. I do care, but I can't help it. 3 or 4 elections ago, I decided I'm going to go with the man that I know is a godly man. I want someone who, of course, who will get up there and defend what we call our constitutional rights, which, by the way, are not that these are duties by God. We shouldn't depend on rights of man. We should even we call God-given rights. We have duties before God. If we do those duties, no man can take them away from us. We won't allow it, but we have. Nonetheless, let's move on. I want someone who will try to stop murdering babies. No, I take it back. I want someone who will stop murdering babies. And will plainly, boldly say so. And then when they get in office, not forget that. Men who will stand for my freedoms and liberties. I want that. I really do. But I want a man that would do that, would do it also with godly principles and his life being a godly life and example before a nation. Don't you know that the leaders you choose influence a whole nation? And don't you know that when the church endorses any candidate, I don't care what side he's on, just because he says he's going to protect our rights, but they endorse a man they know is immoral, a blasphemer, a liar. When they do that, the heathen sees that and wonders, what is this so-called church doing today? I'm going to read to you something said by somebody a long time ago. It was said by John Quincy Adams. And he said this, always vote for principle, though you may vote alone and you may cherish the sweetest reflection that your vote is never lost. You know what I said? Always vote for principle, or I like to say conviction, word of God conviction, though you may vote alone, you will cherish the sweetest reflection that your vote is never lost. Sometimes a vote for principle requires a non-vote, my friends. Sometimes it requires a non-vote. I want to share a few excerpts and comment on a few excerpts from an article written by a guy named John Piper. He is, I think, a pastor of a Baptist church. I do believe it is. I believe in Wisconsin. He wrote an article entitled Policies, Persons, and Paths to Ruin, Pondering the Implications of the 2020 Election. Policies, Persons, and the Path to Ruin. Pondering the Implications of the 2020 Election. By the way, next week, I'm thinking of it, next week. The reason I'm doing this tonight, next Monday night, not next Monday night, because we're going to have a guest on next week. I've been trying to line up for 3 nights in a row for quite a while, but he's always busy. We're going to have Russ Dizdar on. We're going to discuss things next week that you don't want to miss. We're going to discuss demonic activity. How real is it? Is it manifested more today than ever? Where do these so-called devils or demons live? Where is their realm of space, we'll say? Where do they spend their time? Where are they? You may be surprised to find out where they are, folks. And I want next week we're going to cover this in some detail. 3 nights in a row. With Russ Dizdar exposing the working of Satan. And my friends, he's working harder than ever before because he knows his time is short. A few weeks ago, I did a Bible study in our local fellowship, and I told some people there, I told them very clearly, that if Satan can't get to you, he's going to go for your family. And I didn't realize when I was saying that what that would mean for a lot of people in our own congregation and people and friends and family when I said it. Joe and Kelly, for example. We're seeing it happen. But I want you to understand, folks, I am not here again throwing stones. Don't you ever think that I'm throwing stones at you because you don't see what I see right now. It took me a long time to understand this. So I'm not throwing stones. And I apologize to you if you think I am, and I don't mean to make you mad, but folks, sometimes hearing the truth is not always comforting. It isn't. But now you don't have to do anything I say, of course. I don't want you to, please, don't follow me because I say it. You study, ponder the truth and the Word of God for yourself. You decide what you think is the right thing that you need to do. Please. I want you to understand that Christians should not just consider policies, folks. Oh, they're important. They're important. But they're not as important as the guidelines written in the Word of God. If we follow the guidelines written in the Word of God, we wouldn't need to worry about the policies because they take care of themselves. But because we compromised for so long with lesser of evils for election days, we've got ourselves into a hell of a mess. We murdered nearly 100 million babies. We've sodomized our sons, perverted our daughters, bankrupted the nation in every way possibly, financially as well as morally. And how did we get there? For voting lesser of evils. Voting for lesser of evils. Voting for lesser of evils. Let me just say something, if I could. A lot of Christians seem to think that this is out of his article, and I'm paraphrasing a lot of it. Consider the sins of unrepentant sexual immorality. Bill Clinton, perhaps. Yeah. Donald Trump also. Now, they're not the only ones, I'm sure. I'm just using two examples. Unrepentant boastfulness and pride. Unrepentant vulgarity, vulgar words and actions, unrepentant sin of any kind in leaders are acceptable as long as they stand for the policies that we believe in. Is that the way a Christian should look at morality and righteousness? All these sins I just mentioned, by the way, are mentioned in the New Testament. And we talk about important issues like policies that endorse baby killing or sex switching or any kind of freedom limiting policies, a socialistic overreach. They're viewed as deadly, and they are. They are deadly. But the unrepentant sin of anyone, and anyone that will cause other people to sin the same way, you have to understand, folks, unrepentant sin isn't only deadly in the flesh, it's deadly for eternity. It doesn't just destroy bodies, it destroys souls for eternity. Understand that. When we tolerate sin in ourselves or our leaders, we have tolerated unrepentant damnation. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Please, do you? Why do we tolerate flagrant boastfulness and vulgarity and immorality in our leaders? I don't care who it is. That really should be self-incriminating and should make all of them feel guilty and filthy and should make the church angry. Angry beyond words. Why do we tolerate it? Because we want to vote for the lesser of evils. Well, this guy may be a womanizer. He may be vulgar. He may be all the other things. But he won't kill babies. And he won't take away my guns. And again, folks, those are important. But the souls of men are much more important than any of those. Back at the break. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men. 5 years ago, I had such chronic back pain that at one point I bought 3 mattresses within an 18-month period, hoping to relieve my lower back pain. I was only 40, and I hiked daily along with eating a fairly healthy diet. I was not overweight and didn't really have a reason for my back pain. As soon as I started using 3 sprays of Synergy One each morning, the pain immediately went away, and I've never had it again. I also use Synergy One before bed for a better night's sleep. Whenever my mom has back pain, I remind her to use Synergy One. Sure enough, she's all better after using it. I've probably given over 10 bottles away to friends with back pain. I take it when I travel and never miss a day.
Raising growth hormone levels to a more youthful level consistently results in deeper sleep, better energy and mood, fat loss, and the elimination of pain through the repair of injuries. Synergy One is guaranteed to improve the health of your body or your money back. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit synergisticuniverse.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here to tell you about our newest sponsor, a store food company that truly surpasses all the others for quality and flavor. Numana Storable Foods, the only storable food manufacturer that has all their foods grown in the USA. They are GMO-free, have no artificial sweeteners, no high fructose corn syrup, no MSGs, no chemical preservatives, and no soy.
They are simply the best store foods available for all the right reasons. Go to Namana.com or call 888-597-0775 and mention code Pastor Butch and get 10% off your merchandise. Again, Numana.com or call 888-597-0775. Mention code Pastor Butch for a 10% discount.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Brothers, hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield.
All right, folks, we are back. And we'll get the phone call in a minute. I know Ken called in again from last from Maine. That didn't get, Ken, I'll get with you in a few minutes. I promise you, hang in there. I'll get with you. You can share your information if you want to share last night. I didn't get to you in time, but I want to finish up, what, if you don't mind, what the things I want to say here. Now, folks, a lot of these things I just mentioned, they'll be tolerated in our leaders because we think they're more conservative. Or we may think that they're better, like maybe they're better for making a national health care plan. We're leaning in that direction. And we'll tolerate their immorality because we think that they're doing the right thing. Those sins I just mentioned, by the way, in Romans chapter 1 are sins that'll make you worthy of death. And Galatians says that people who do these kind of sins will not inherit the kingdom of God. And is it important that leaders be decent people? I mean, is it important that they are people that our children look up to and say, well, he's president of the United States and he takes a stand for moral duties. Is that important to our children and our children's children? Is it important? I would think so. I mean, folks, just understand this. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it says that a little sin, a little leaven, leavens a whole lump. A little sin spreads like cancer. It does. It'll spread throughout society to the point that pretty soon it would destroy society. Now, I know people don't want to hear this thing, but it doesn't change the fact that it's true. You know, in the Bible, in 1 Kings, and you'll hear this, find this other places too, but it talks about the sin of the king made the people of the nation to sin, made Israel to sin. Now, that didn't mean that he twisted their arm and said, all right, I mean, you're going to do this. No. Now, when people look to leaders, though, as examples, especially young people, Bill Clinton, for example, and Monica Lewinsky, and I never had sex with that woman. People look at him and think, well, he's president of the United States. Surely if he can do this goodbye with it, I can too. The sins of the leader, the leaders that lead, also can shape the character of the people, folks. Understand that they can and do shape the character of the people. So it's not just our duty to find someone who protect our freedoms. It's our duty to find the kind of people that God says to put into office, or then I ain't going to be able to vote for. I just read to you what John Quincy Adams said. You vote your convictions. It's never a wasted vote. Understand that. It's kind of amazing that soon that you know, pro-murder policies kill more people than the culture saturating pro-self-pride group, or the self-sin group, or the sinning group. I mean, murdering unborn babies is an abomination before God Almighty, folks. But destroying the culture of the people to the point that they send themselves right into hell is also an abomination before God. You see, the Bible says sin brings forth death. And stop and think about this. We now have baby killing that started in 1974 because we voted for the lesser of evils before 1974. The people that stood on the Word of God and demanded that we are governed by the Word of God and the morality written in the Scriptures, we would never have started murdering babies. We wouldn't have started letting sodomites walk the streets proudly and lesbians and adopt children to pervert their minds and destroy their souls. We wouldn't tolerate it. We wouldn't tolerate it in a public food system. Our children's minds have been perverted, destroying their souls. We wouldn't tolerate it. If we hadn't voted for lesser of evils and stood our ground on principles, we wouldn't be in this hell of a mess. Understand that. If we stood on Christian convictions, this nation wouldn't have went to hell. The Bible tells that the people that hate God love death. And you say, well, I don't hate God. If you live contrary to His Word, you hate His Word. So therefore, you hate Him. And whenever you compromise the convictions and the laws of God Almighty and go for the lesser of the lawbreakers, all you're doing is bringing slow judgment on America. Do you understand that? That's just the way it is. I'm sorry about it if you don't like it, but it is what it is. So where does the wickedness of killing unborn children come from? Where does the wickedness of sodomy come from? Well, where does it come from? It comes from unrepentant individuals. It comes from self-absorbed arrogance and boasting. It comes from the hearts of that are not... are not led by God Almighty. It comes from Christians allowing the leaders to live like hell and call it okay because he's saving my guns. You say, preacher, the Second Amendment's not important? No, I don't say that at all. No. They call me the pistol packing preacher, folks. I do carry a gun. I'm not ashamed of that fact. Matter of fact, I don't consider it a right. It's a duty. It's far beyond a right. It's my duty, according to the Scriptures. Numbers chapter 1, Nehemiah chapter 4, Luke 22:36. It's my duty to arm myself. If I do not provide protection for my family, I've denied the faith and the worst of infidel. I'm going to hell if I don't fulfill my duty to God. So no, it's more than a right to me. And I appreciate anyone who will defend my ability to do that without having to go to court over it. But I don't appreciate it enough to go against God's word when it comes to selecting people to rule over us. I'm sorry, I just don't. You believe what you want to. I'm telling you the truth. I just wonder, this guy, the article said, if he found it bewildering that Christians can be so sure that greater damage will be done by bad judges, bad laws, and bad policies than is being done by the culture infecting spread of the gangrene of sinful exaltation and boasting and strife-steering. Hey, that's a good point. Why do Christians think that greater damage is done from bad laws, bad policies, than from a culture killing leadership? And I don't care which leadership it is. Now, let's face it, folks. Bill Clinton was certainly not an angel, but neither is Donald Trump. Biden is a blithering idiot when it comes about anything normal. So my convictions say I must vote for third party, and I will. A man that I know will try to honor God in his life, not just get up and mouth off things while I'll protect your rights. Sin of the leaders of a nation does infect the culture to the point that we now have babies being murdered. How did it come to that? I'll tell you exactly again why it came to that. Because the churches pre-1974 were quiet on evil and compromised their way right into hell and murdered babies on the way down. Why do we want to justify the sins of anyone? I don't care what position they're in. I don't care if they're ecclesiastical leaders or political leaders or whoever they are. Why do you want to justify their evil actions? It's because they say they're going to do the right thing and help us prosper, help us make more money, build the economy. We don't care what they do in private, right? Maybe we don't, but God does. Don't you know that we are communicating a lie to unbelievers? Don't you know they're watching so-called Christians jump up and down, support a candidate, and the unbelievers know this candidate's lifestyle? I don't care which one it is, people. I'm not picking sides tonight. I'm telling the truth. So when we activate policies are more important than the laws of God, The church is failing the world miserably. The church is going to pay dearly for that, folks. We already are. But even more than that, our children are going to pay for that, as they are. Of course, freedom and life are precious. I certainly believe that. And we have a perfect right to be able to pursue these things. But if our freedoms and our lives are threatened or taken because we stand for Christ, we should certainly have an understanding with everlasting joy with Christ that we shouldn't worry about these temporal things. Not that we shouldn't stand for what's right. I'm not saying that again. But to ignore the laws of God, to try to save your precious policies and try to stop them taking your guns or even from murdering children, to ignore the evil of those who say they're going to help you and have sin in the camp, so to speak, only makes the situation worse further down the road. The way the church has compromised for so many years, I want to ask you this question to you pastors and preachers especially. I don't know if any preachers listen to this program or not. Probably not. Most preachers don't like me. But eventually, at this rate, because we keep voting for less of evils, America is going to collapse. We're going to fall into tyranny, I do believe. Anarchy, maybe first, then tyranny. It makes no difference whether you're right or left. It's all going to go in the same direction. And what happens whenever our Christian freedoms are taken away because we tolerate evil for so long, now they will not tolerate Christianity at all? What if Christians one day will face fines or imprisonment, even martyrdom, as they have all over the world for thousands of years? Have we, as pastors and preachers, have we been preaching the gospel strong enough, clear enough, and hard enough that we will build strong believers, or radical Christians, I guess you could say, Christians that will sing in the face of adversity, that will praise God to become worthy to suffer for Him? Are we building the breed of Christians in this nation that will be willing to die for Christ? I don't think so. We'll vote against His word in order to line our pockets and to protect our precious policies, but we won't take a stand for His righteous laws. Demand our leaders follow. We don't do that. We just don't do that. That's just not what we do. We haven't done it for years. And now we're paying for it. Big time paying for it. People's, as Hebrews 10 says, read sometime, that they will gladly accept the plundering of the property and their lives if necessary for the glory of God. They're not ashamed of that. Are we cultivating real Christians who see the true beauty and the worth of the laws of God and the Son of God? Have you looked for the unsearchable riches of Christ, as the Bible talks about? And have you done what Paul said in like Philippians, said, I count everything as a loss because we know what our Father has in store for us? And do we understand, according to the Bible in Philippians chapter 3, it says there are conversations in heaven. That word conversation, folks, listen to me. The word conversation, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, the word is conversation. That word means, that word conversation, look it up in a concordance, it means citizenship. If our citizenship is in heaven, as I just preached this past weekend at a church when they're preaching up in Mill Creek, if we're already the kingdom of Christ and we're citizens of heaven, why do we tolerate evil in any part of our lives? Just so we can protect our precious paycheck. Why we tolerate evil. I know that people don't want to hear this. I realize that. But it doesn't change the fact, folks. I'm not here to tell you what to do. Never would I do that. I'm here and telling you, I won't say I'm defending what I believe. I'm just saying what I do believe. That gets me in trouble all the time. I look at the man, as I did at our sheriff this just a few days ago. I never met this sheriff before. But he sat on my front porch with his chief deputy, and we spoke for quite a while. I asked searching questions, yes, even spiritual questions. And the man walks and talks like a Christian. He understands what our so-called rights are. and is ready to defend him. But more importantly, he's a man of moral character. I didn't say he's perfect. None of us are. But I want to meet the man and talk to him to see where he stands. I withdrew a vote for a gubernatorial candidate, just I'd mentioned about a week or two ago, because he used the Constitution to justify the life of sexual perversion. I will not support that man. I don't care how right he is on other issues. I will not support a man who is that ignorant of the morality of the world of God. And he says he's a Christian. Yeah, you do what you think's best. But I thought the church's mission was here to exalt Christ and promote his laws, as Matthew 28 says, to teach all nations do what he's commanded, not to vote for lesser of evils, to protect your policies. One day I will stand before my God. I will stand before Christ and give account for the deeds done in my body. I will. You will too. If you're not born again, you stand before the great white throne judgment of God and be cast into hell. If you are born again, you're going to stand before the throne of Christ and answer his questions. Why did you do this and not do that? And one day, someone may ask you, why did you compromise? It cost me my soul. You think about it. And one day, even your own conscience may ask you, why did I compromise? Again, you do what you think is best. Don't ever do what I say just because I say it. You do what you think is best, but I urge you in the name of Jesus that you tolerate, that you study and tolerate this kind of teaching and study and see if I told you the truth or not. That's the best I can do. Let's get a phone call that I promised to start with Ken in Maine. Ken, come in, sir. I'm sorry that I didn't get to you last night. Come on in tonight. Welcome to the program.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Okay. The people that's listening, they only have control over one person, and that's themselves.
That's true. Okay.
And if they want healing, I don't care if they're blind, they're lame, they're crippled, they want protection from this virus they're about to release. You know, I'm going to tell them how it can be achieved.
Okay.
I'm going to read from the Webster Dictionary the definition of the word rapture: a state or experience of being carried away with overwhelming emotion, a mystical experience in which one is exalted to the knowledge of divine things. Only God is divine. Okay? Now, the definition of rapture is in the Bible also. The mm-hmm. word doesn't appear, but the definition does. And that's in John chapter 16, verse 19 through 24. And Christ says, you'll weep and lament. And this is the definition of rapture, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. And he says, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
So here you can have divine protection.
Yes.
What occurs is, when you go through the teeth of the law, that's when you try to keep God's law as though your life depends on it. It acts like a plow. John the Baptist said, prepare the way of the Lord. How do you do that? You try to keep God's law and the teachings of Christ as though your life depends on it. And when your heart is properly prepared, God will sow his seed, just like it talks about in Matthew 13. It says, you sow good seed in your field? Well, the master throws the seed. Also in Isaiah 61, verse 3, to give unto them the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness.
Yes.
This occurs after you went through seven trials, seven chastisements. And it takes 153 days for it to occur. There's a word in the dictionary called lustrum. And if you look mm-hmm. that word up, it says where they count the people.
Census?
What?
A census?
A census conducted by the Romans every 5 years. But the first definition is brightness or purify. Well, I just went through a census, and it didn't brighten me or purify me one bit. They changed the definition of the word. The original Christians understood that the judgment is 153 days when the disciples judge. That's where the chastisement occurs. And that's how you come to know Christ. It's called beatific vision. Your pineal gland is open and you see him. Like it says in John chapter 17, verse 3, this is life eternal. Whosoever seeth the Son. Okay, you have to see him and believe him. And the only way that happens is if you believe every word he spoke is pure truth. Not that you can pray and kneel down before some hypocrite and then that's being born again. Being born again is agonizing. And the word narrow, straight is the way, narrow is the path. Agonisciae. We get our English word agonized from that word. So the churches are just a bunch of pharisaical hypocrites. And God's going to destroy them.
You made a good point there. You made a good point there in the fact that I'm ashamed I used to teach this. You just simply believe and receive. I used to teach this, just simply believe and receive. That's not true. Unless you're converted, you're not born again. You just can't say, I believe. Satan believes, doesn't he? But he's not converted.
You're not born again if you haven't seen him. When you were born out of your mother's womb, the first thing you seen was light. And when you see his light, then you're born again. If you haven't seen his light, you're not born again. You're believing in yourself. It's a man-centered gospel.
So you think that you see a literal light?
I know you see Christ himself.
Oh.
And he is illuminated.
So when you're born again, you get to see Christ face to face?
Isaiah 45:22. Look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I am God.
Okay.
If that was the standard for them, it can't be any different for us. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us.
Yeah, but you see, no man can see God and live in a physical body.
What?
No man can see God and live in a physical body. I have seen Christ. I have seen Christ spiritually in his word because his word is Christ. The word is Christ.
He says, I appeared unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they are alive today.
Well, that's true. But that's very true. But again, to see him according to the scripture is to see his word and understand that his word is him. And he is Christ, so therefore I see Christ when I see his word and live in his word. I see Christ. I live
Christ. How is that possible? If that's the case, everybody that's ever looked at a word of Christ is
no, no, no,
by
no,
your standard,
no, 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 looking at it doesn't save you. Looking at Christ, Satan's looked at Christ. He's not saved.
That's the thing. He told you, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. So every word he spoke is truth. There's no leaven in it. And yet you turn around and pray in these churches. He says, when you pray, enter your closet, shut the door, and pray to your Father in secret, and your Father which seeth the secret rewards you openly. So you stand in the churches and pray. You're declaring yourself to be hypocrites according to his word.
Well, if you believed
his word, you'd know that.
Well, you know, Christ himself prayed in front of his disciples. He wasn't a hypocrite. He didn't pray in secret all the time. He prayed in front of the disciples.
Yeah, but he says you have to keep his word.
That's right. I agree 100%.
Yeah.
You live it. You live it like he says.
When you become Christ, you can go pray with your disciples, I guess.
Well, I don't have any disciples. I am a disciple. But Christ prayed publicly and he prayed in private also. That's what we do. I'm not ashamed to pray publicly. I have, but I also pray a lot more in private, obviously, because I'm more by myself than with people. But I get what you're trying to say, Ken. I got to jump more calls, though, but good. Thanks for calling and sharing. I appreciate you. You kept working called. Thanks, Ken, very much. Let's move on. Let's go to Joe right here in Richardson. Joe, come on in. Welcome.
Thank you, Butch. And I want to thank everybody for the prayers for my wife. It's a long road of recovery, and I'm just praying that God will intervene. But there's a verse I want to share. And if anybody says, I'm going to vote for the lesser of two evils, this comes from Proverbs chapter 17, verse 15. He that justifies the wicked, that is voting for the lesser of the two evils, and he that condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And if anybody says to me, I've got to vote for the lesser of the two evils, I'm going to quote that verse right in their face. I already memorized it.
Well, you know, and, as I said beginning, Joe, I'm not throwing stones because I come from the same direction. Mm-hmm. I did. But the difference is I'm willing to believe the truth and change my life. That's the difference. And I think, and I'm saying this humbly before God, but I think tonight that I present enough truth that anybody who wants to believe it will see what I'm trying to say and understand it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And like I said, anybody who justifies voting for the lesser two evils is still voting for evil. And
right.
It's an abomination before the Lord.
Yes, it is.
And you can't justify that. You're either going to vote for the person who's truly in love with Jesus Christ, or you're going to vote for a name or a sign out there saying, because he's a Republican or a Democrat, I vote Democrat only, or I vote Republican only, well, and not investigating the person. When Donald Trump was running for office, I did some research in man and found out that he's not what people said he is, especially in his spirituality. And
people say he's better than Hillary Clinton. Now, I'll make this point real quick, Joe. He's better than Hillary Clinton on his policies, but he's no more righteous than she is. He's not a born-again believer.
I mean, in fact, you're not a born-again believer. You're just as evil as the next person.
That's very true.
You can't put that down.
Know.
I mean, it's truth.
Well, Joe, I was going to say that people are praying for you. And, folks, this is Joe we asked prayer for, and his wife, Kelly, who was kidnapped a few nights ago. Please keep doing your prayer because he's doing his best to make this work and get his wife home with him. Joe, we're down about 1 minute or so. What else you want to say very quickly?
I want to just say this, folks. If you're not living righteously for Christ, in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, I forget what verse it is, there's many that are going to come before Jesus Christ. Lord, Lord, don't you know who I am? Don't you know me? Say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. And a lot of people standing in hell, Christians standing in hell today, I'm sorry to say, Lord, why am I here? It's not right, this is not fair. I'm not supposed to be here. And the Lord's going to say, I never knew you.
Amen. Joe, I got to jump. Thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. Thank you, Joe. I got to jump very quickly here. Daryl on PA. Daryl, you got about 30 seconds. Come on in.
Yeah, I'll say it real fast. And voting, you're 100% right. Voting for the lesser of two evils is still evil. I agree 100%. The Russian people for many decades under communism had a saying, the authorities pretend to hold elections and we pretend to vote. The people pretend to vote. Are we in America any different? Because if we get a liberal Democrat in office, president in Congress, we the people go into socialism and totalitarian government at 100 miles an hour. If we get a moderate Republican, we go in at 80 miles an hour. What's the difference? The destination's still the same.
Amen.
We just get there 20 miles an hour faster with the liberal Democrats.
Thank you, Daryl. Appreciate it. Folks, I'll see you in the office tomorrow. God bless you all and have a wonderful night. And I'll see you in the office tomorrow. Hope you'll call and say hi to us. Good night.
This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.